All right, let's dive in. FHA loans, right? But with a twist.
A twist.
Yeah. We're not doing the usual single-family home thing today. We're going multi-unit. Think duplexes, fourplexes.
Ah, I like where this is going.
Using excerpts from this real estate investing guide we found.
Yeah.
Figure out if this FHA route is your ticket to, you know, becoming a property mogul.
Love it. See, a lot of folks think FHA is just for, like, first-time buyers, you know, getting that starter house, but it can be so much more than that.
Oh, absolutely. It's like leveling up in real estate, right?
Right.
But before we get too excited, what exactly are we talking about here?
Right. So a multi-unit property, basically it's a residential building, but it's got two or three, maybe four separate living spaces.
Okay. I'm with you.
The beauty of it is you can live in one.
Oh, smart.
And rent out the others.
I see where the appeal is. So how do FHA loans fit into all of this?
Well, they're famous for those lower down payments
right.
and being a bit more flexible with credit scores, which is a big deal.
Huge.
Mm.
Especially with multi-unit properties. Those prices, they can be intimidating.
Totally.
But even though FHA loans are quote unquote flexible,
right.
there are some rules, some guidelines we got to keep in mind. Like that 3.5% down payment, that's a major perk, but you need a credit score of at least 580 to get it.
That's key. And understanding those nuances is crucial. Take the debt-to-income ratio, the BTI, the FHA. They want to see that at 43% or less.
So if I'm making, let's say, $6,000 a month before taxes,
okay,
my total debt payments, including this new mortgage, can't be over, what, $2,580?
Yeah, around there. Sounds simple enough.
It does. But is it always that straightforward?
Well, there are some exceptions. You got to factor in potential rental income from those extra units.
Oh, right. That can offset the debt, right?
Exactly. The FHA lets you use that projected income to kind of help your DTI look a bit better.
Makes sense. More income means you can probably handle the debt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing lenders don't just take your word for it, right?
Of course not. They're going to want some proof.
Right. Like what?
Signed lease agreements would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Market analyses showing what similar units are renting for.
Uh-huh.
Or even a formal appraisal that backs up your income projection.
Got it. So you need hard data.
Yeah.
Not just hopes and dreams.
And here's another layer to keep in mind. When the FHA is crunching those income numbers,
yeah.
they often use a 75% occupancy rate.
Why 75%?
Like a built-in cushion, you know? Realistically, your units might not be rented out all the time.
Vacancies and stuff.
Right. Vacancies, turnover. The FHA wants to make sure you're good, even if a unit or two is empty.
Okay, I see. Smart. Protects everyone involved. Speaking of protection, what about mortgage insurance? Always hear about that with FHA loans.
Yeah, mortgage insurance is a cost to consider. You'll have an upfront premium.
Right.
And then annual payments gets added to your mortgage.
It's like an insurance policy for the lender, basically. But you're the one paying.
Exactly. So down payments, credit scores, DTI, rental income, mortgage insurance. Think we got it all.
Anything else crucial?
Loan limits. That's where things can get, well, complicated. They vary by location. But the good news is they tend to be higher for multi-unit properties.
Makes sense. We were talking bigger, more expensive properties. But I'm guessing even with those higher limits, things aren't always smooth sailing.
You're right. It can be tricky. Let's dive into that in the next part of our deep dive.
I'm ready. And I bet our listeners are too. Stay with us. Back again, ready to keep exploring these FHA loans for multi-unit properties.
Yeah.
We left off talking about loan limits, and I'm still curious about those roadblocks.
Yeah, hitting that loan limit can be a real bummer when you're excited about a property.
Right, like you finally find a perfect fourplex.
Imagine, you know, a hot market like San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Prices there are crazy.
And the FHA loan limit is, let's say, $700,000 for that area, but the fourplex is listed at, like, $900,000.
Whoa, so you're short $200,000. What do you do then? Just walk away.
Not always. You could put down a bigger down payment to close that gap.
Instead of the usual 3.5%.
Maybe you go 10%, maybe even 20%.
Makes sense. So you're putting down more cash up front.
Right. But you still get those FHA benefits.
Like the flexibility with credit scores.
Exactly.
So it's a trade-off.
Sometimes, though, if the property appraises for more than the sale price.
Oh, interesting.
You might not need to put down as much.
The FHA looks at the appraisal value.
Yeah, not just the listing price.
Okay, so adjusting the down payment is one way to get around that loan limit. Any other tricks up your sleeve?
Of course. You could look into different loan programs.
Like
conventional loans, they often have higher limits.
Right.
But they're stricter, higher credit score, larger down payment, usually.
Got it. Pros and cons to everything. That's why having a good lender is so important, right?
Absolutely. They can help you compare options, figure out what fits your situation.
Like a mortgage GPS?
So we've tackled loan limits. What else should folks know about FHA guidelines, especially with these multi-units?
Yeah, what else?
The debt-to-income ratio, that DTI, it can be a bit of a sticking point.
DTI, right. We talked about it earlier, but it's worth repeating.
It basically shows how much of your income is already going towards debt.
And with multi-unit properties, it gets a little tricky, doesn't it?
Remember how we talked about using potential rental income?
Using future income to offset your current debt to kind of make your DTI look better.
Let's say your DTI is a bit high, just based on your salary.
Right.
But then you add in that projected rental income, boom, your DTI might drop below that 43%.
It's like balancing a budget, but with future money.
And don't forget that 75% occupancy rate the FHA uses.
Right, the buffer.
That affects your DTI too.
Oh, how so?
Let's say you've got a triplex. The FHA isn't assuming you'll rent out all three units all the time.
Right.
They use that 75% rate, so your projected rental income is a bit lower for the DTI calculation.
Got it. So even if you're super confident you can rent out all the units, the FHA is playing it safe.
Managing risk. Making sure you don't stretch yourself too thin.
DTI, rental income, occupancy rate. What else should we unpack?
Let's talk about property standards.
Okay. So it's not just about your finances. The building itself has to meet certain criteria.
The property needs to be, first and foremost, structurally sound.
That makes sense. A solid foundation, good roof, no cracks or damage, right?
Safety and making sure it's livable. Those are top priorities. Then there's the essential systems. Plumbing, electrical, heating, cooling, ventilation. They all need to be working properly, up to code.
So no leaky faucets, no dodgy wiring.
And here's a big one, lead-based paint hazards.
Ah, right. If the property was built before 1978.
It's got to be lead-free. If there is lead paint, it needs to be properly taken care of.
That's a whole process.
Certified contractor, safely remove it or encapsulate it.
Can get pricey.
And then there's the appraisal.
Right. The FHA wants to make sure the property is worth a loan amount.
It protects both the buyer and the lender.
So what happens if a property doesn't meet these standards? Is it game over?
Not always. Depends on the issues.
Okay. Like
if it's minor stuff, leaky faucet, old electrical outlets, the seller might fix them before closing.
So there's room for negotiation.
But if it's serious stuff,
like
major damage, widespread lead paint, foundation problems, that might be a no-go.
The FHA doesn't want to take on too much risk.
Better to find those problems early on through inspections and appraisals.
This is why having that experienced FHA lender on your side is so valuable, right?
Absolutely. They can guide you through all these guidelines, make sure the property is a good investment.
We've covered a lot of ground here. Loan limits, DTI, property standards, appraisals. But there's still more to explore, right?
There's always more to learn.
Join us for the last part of our deep dive, where we'll get into some real-world scenarios, talk strategies, and answer your questions. Okay, final stretch. We've covered the guidelines, those potential bumps in the road. Now, I want to get practical. Let's say I'm ready to dive into multi-unit properties, FHA, knowledge in hand. Where do I even start looking?
That's where a good real estate agent comes in.
Okay. But I bet not just any agent, well, right?
You want someone who really gets FHA loans, especially for multi-unit properties.
So what should I look for? What makes an agent stand out in this area?
Well, they should know how to filter those property searches.
Right.
Find ones that actually fit those FHA guidelines. And they need to understand the appraisal process.
Inside and out.
They got to be able to guide you towards properties that'll likely get approved.
Like a real estate translator almost.
And strong negotiation skills are key too.
Of course. Makes sense.
They'll be fighting for you during the offer process, you know, maybe help you get the property, even if there are some small things that need fixing.
Got it. So finding the right agent is step one.
Yeah.
But then once you've got some properties you're interested in, what's next? Due diligence.
Due diligence is all about going deeper, looking past the surface, the pretty finishes, and really digging into the numbers.
Digging like an investor, not just someone who wants to live there.
You're analyzing that income potential, weighing it against expenses.
Like what kind of expenses?
Your mortgage payments, the big one. Then property taxes, insurance, utilities, maintenance.
Oh, right. And things like landscaping, snow removal, if you need it.
Don't forget those.
So you're basically creating a budget for the property, making sure the income can handle it all.
And hopefully leave you with some profit. We call that cash flow.
Cash flow, the holy grail.
Positive cash flow means you're making more than you're spending.
That's the dream. But what about appreciation? Doesn't that matter too?
Of course, especially for long-term wealth building. Wow. Location, amenities, the market, all those affect appreciation.
Okay, so you want a property that brings in cash now and hopefully goes up in value later. Now, I got to ask this because I know some listeners are new to all this. Can you even get an FHA loan if you've never been a landlord before?
Absolutely. Experience isn't a requirement. What matters is showing you're financially responsible, that you're ready for what comes with owning and managing a multi-unit property.
Good credit, manageable DTI, some cash reserves.
That's a great start. But if you want to boost your application even without that landlord experience.
How do you do that?
Take some courses, you know, property management, landlord workshops, maybe even shadow an experienced landlord.
Shows you're serious, that you're willing to learn.
It's about being prepared, not just jumping in head first.
Well, we've covered a ton of ground here. Demystified FHA loans, explored those guidelines, talked real-world scenarios. Hopefully you're feeling more confident about this multi-unit journey.
It's been great diving into this with you. Just remember, an FHA loan can be a great tool, but it's not the answer for everyone. Do your research, find those experienced professionals to help you.
And make sure this strategy fits your goals, your financial situation.
That's key.
We've given you the map, but the adventure is all yours. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and happy investing.